Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome everyone to worship this morning. Homecoming 2017. If I could draw your attention to the pew pads that are located on the end of your pew, you could take those, jot down your information, pass it down. We just want to get a record of your attendance today. After you've done that and pass it down, we invite you to pass it back to the center aisle so we can pick those up conveniently at the end of the service. Today is a special service, and so we do still have children's time, but it's not following the first hymn. It's following the first congregational song, and those words are printed on the insert in your bulletin. Jeff would love to meet all the children down here to my left, to your right, during that at the end of that song. Today's a special day, and we have a special meal planned for everyone. We hope you are planning to stay and eat with us. It is going to be a lot of good food. I know there's fried chicken and plenty of pound cake, so I'm excited about that.
I dropped off my food. She said she thought we were going to add an addition for all the food.
More tables for food are being pulled out as we speak, I believe. So we might not have enough room to sit, but there'll be plenty of food to eat. But more importantly than the food, I want you to be careful. We have gym mats laid out in the gym to protect the floor. We have taped those. We've tried to get all the wrinkles out. But as you know, there's only so much you can do with mats. So be careful. Hey, thank you, drummer. Wow. So watch where you're going. Pick up your feet and walk. Don't shuffle your feet. You will be in trouble. And we don't want anybody to get hurt. So just take note of the people around you. This week, we are collecting Operation Christmas Child items in boxes. We need those here by Wednesday because the children and youth are going to be packing those Wednesday night. So do everything you can to get those here by Wednesday before supper time so they can pack those following. And also, we have some history books I'm sure many of you saw as you came into the service today down in the hallway. There's a limited number of those left. They're being sold for $10. Miss Helen Howard compiled those, I think somebody said like 17 years ago. And so be sure if you want to get a copy of that to do that following the service today. Our ushers now are going to return back down the aisle. And if you're a guest with us today, we just want to say thank you for worshiping with us. They have some information they just want to give you about the life of our church. Inside there is a highlights, which is our church newsletter, as well as a letter from our pastor just letting you know things going on here in the life of our church and welcoming you with us today. And if you're a guest with us, you did pretty good getting here at 10 o'clock today since it is homecoming and we have a different style service today. But you're in for a treat. It's a special day that we have to gather and to worship. We thank you for worshiping with us now. Our handbell choir is going to come now and call us to worship. Thank you, handbell choir. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you. We thank you for being our God. We thank you for giving us this time and space we have to come into worship. Father, this day as we are celebrating the ministry you've done through us, through your people, through this corner right here in Winston-Salem, we thank you for the ministry past, present, and we look forward to the ministry in the future that you have in store for us. But right now, Father, we want to focus on you and you alone and what you've done for us. So, Father, this morning as we worship, let everything that's said and done be about your name. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Won't you stand with us as we sing?
The words are in your insert.
Trust the sweetest phrase, but holy trust. We can wait. Let's see, we got a bunch down here already. Okay. It's good to see everybody. Are you glad to be here this morning? Yes. Do you know what's happening after church? Desserts. Okay. So, no matter how long Pastor Raymond preaches, just remember desserts. Okay? Desserts. Now, I need some help from everybody in the congregation, okay? If you were a child or a teenager, and you're no longer anymore, but you grew up here at College Park, I want you to just stand up right where you are. If you were at any point a child or a teenager at College Park, at any point, that means if you're currently a college student and up, and you grew up here, stand up. All right? If you are currently a child or if you are currently a child or a teenager at College Park, stand up. Y'all stand up. If you are currently a child or a teenager at College Park. Everybody who's standing up, here's what I need for you to do. Real loud, when I count to three, I want a big clap. Okay, because what we're going to do is we want to say thank you to the people at College Park. All right? Are you ready? Big, long, loud Wake Forest winning the ACC championship. Thank you to all the people for making College Park. One, two, three, go! Yeah, louder! Yeah! Good job. You can take a seat. Now, why in the world would I do that? because this morning I am thankful for the faithfulness of the people of this church. My son gets to grow up here. You get to grow up here. It's a special place. Do we mess up? Yep. All the time. But God is doing amazing things and has for a long, long time at this place we call College Park. So I thank God for you. I thank God for you. Pastor Raymond, a little while, is going to talk about the faithfulness and the history. We have special people who love us and take care of us here at College Park. I want you guys today to make sure that you go to your Sunday school teachers and you give them a big hug. Your choir leaders, your mission leaders, people that pray for you, your mommy and your daddy who get you here even when you want to sleep a little longer, right? You just don't want to get dressed up. Hug them and say thank you for bringing me to College Park so that I can learn about Jesus. Because that's ultimately what it's about. It's not even about us. It's about the cross. And about what Jesus did, that's the most important thing. So I am thankful that you're here. I am thankful that you're here. And I'm excited about homecoming. And don't forget desserts. All right. Let's pray together. Father, you are faithful and good. For these children who are growing up here, and for those who have grown up and come back home. Thank you for all those people who have invested time and energy and resources into growing these young people. May we continue to honor you and your faithfulness to us by being faithful to you, to see our calling in this community as it continues to grow and meet the needs of new families. May we always honor you in everything that we do. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Good job. You go back.
So now we're going to hear a word from Miss Clara Edmonds.
Matt, I did hear the announcement, but when I stand up, my mind sits down and I stood up to sing. So, and for that reason, I am going to use something that I have written because my mind doesn't work like it should. Used to. This story begins a long, long time ago, probably before a lot of you were born. I was a student at Gardner Webb. Junior college at that time, go Bulldogs, and my mom and dad were involved with the action of the First Baptist Church and the Pilot Mountain Baptist Association here in Winston-Salem to establish a rural church that would serve Polo Road, Winola Road, Ransom Road, and this area, and the communities nearby, to develop a church. This is something that I was anxious to be a part of because at that time I was interested in becoming a French teacher and going to school here in town at Salem College after I graduated from Gardner Webb. And I wanted to stay in the area, but alas, God had other plans for me, thankfully. At this time, the folks from the First Baptist Church and from the PMBA, started holding prayer services in a dwelling on East Polo Road, off of East Polo Road, at the home of Gilbert and Charlotte Shermer. And that grew and it grew. And eventually, we started, after Labor Day that year, we started having services in the dance hall at Crystal Lake. In those days at church, you wore a hat and other things, but We did. We overcome that, and we did. We held services in the dance hall there, and we grew and grew. And eventually, we developed into a small wooden church in the parking lot out here. And met there, and I sung in the choir, and I met with the young adult girls. And they threatened to come to my wedding, and we had our wedding in December of 49 that year in our living room off of Polo Road here. So the girls that were in that youth group threatened to come break the house and come to my wedding when there was only room for us and the preacher and family. But they were going to come to my wedding anyhow. But that in December of 1949, I became Mrs. Joseph Edmonds. And that was, 67 years ago, 68, a long time ago. It's been wonderful years. And we were going, so we moved to the mountains from there. And we lived there for quite a while, and our oldest son was born in the mountains, and we moved back here so we could make a living. And went to a sister church for a while. But eventually, one Sunday morning, we were on our way to the church, and my son, who was almost a teenager, said, "Dad, I always wonder, why do we drive by that church right there? All of my friends go there." And you've heard it before, right? And my husband turned left into the parking lot here, and that's the beginning of our story at College Park Baptist Church. He turned into the parking lot, and we found a wonderful church that opened its doors so wide to us, and it's been our home ever since. We were given the opportunity to serve and worship and share Christ in so many ways. Thank you for those opportunities. Thank you for helping us raise our boys here. We have four Christian sons and so many Christian grandchildren because of the things that you have opened up for us in all of these years. Thank you to the Sunday school teachers that we've had and the youth leaders and the prayer partners. That is not anything new, because when our oldest son was in college at NC State, Bill Poole sent him letters very often. I'm sure some of you remember Bill Poole. And he sent Joe letters and encouraged him to live a Christian life. And Ellie Osborne was head of the Brotherhood then, the Baptist men. And he also was a very important part of their lives. I'm thankful for the missions that we've been involved in. I'm thankful for Steve Foster, who started the mission in Kentucky. He began that, and of course, Charlie's father continued it, and we all continued that. And I think the last time that we went there, there were over 100 people who built a house in Kentucky in 1 week. And we've been so thankful to be a part of that mission. There are some other missions that I am so thankful for. The women who took the meals to the people who were at Brookridge, and the people who take Meals on Wheels now. This is a very active part of that mission. And Baptist women now, and the GAs, the Baptist women who lead the GAs and the RAs. And I need to tell this one little story. When my boys were teenage, I thought they were coming to RAs one Wednesday night, And I found out by some other way that they had gone to RA's golf. So just, you know, teenagers are teenagers. So, but nobody here had anything to do with that, I'm sure. But I'm thankful for the choirs and for the staff, everyone who helps us worship in such a way that we can take God to this community. And I'm thankful for the privilege of saying thank you to all of you for our Christian lives. Thank you.
Good morning. It's a great day to be here and celebrate homecoming. Raymond asked me to share what it was like to be born into this congregation and then live my life here. And when I started thinking about it, 55 years is a long time. I've got a lot of memories here. Did you see the gowns or the robes that were in the hallway coming through here? Yeah, I wore one of those. I don't remember the big bow, but I wore one of those. I remember Bible school in the chapel. I remember my little brother getting kicked out of Sunday school. I remember chasing a sheep that escaped from our live nativity scene. I remember having the coolest Sunday school teacher in the church, Lawrence Husband. You know, in the seventh grade, I went into Sunday school and he was kicked back, had his legs up on the chair, maybe even sucking a sucker. And he said, "Come on in, dude." And he made things relaxing and joyful. Lawrence was the first person that ever gave me one of these, a cross in my pocket. It's simple. You tear the cross off, you put it in your pocket, you put it in your purse. And during the time that you reach in and grab it, you recognize what it is, what it symbolizes, who you're supposed to be. It's got a neat poem to it, the very last part of it. It says, "The cross is a reminder that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. If only I'll let him be." And that's what Lawrence was teaching us as seventh and eighth graders. And he gave us the foundation to do that. Miss Claire mentioned Mountain Outreach, one of my favorite things we ever did. And again, thanks to Steve Foster. Steve was the youth minister here at that time, and he had found this mission to go up to Cumberland College, Mountain Outreach, and drywall a house that had already been framed. That's what he was going to do with the youth. Well, our church caught on to that, and we coattailed on him, and we decided we're going to go do the framing, and then he can come in and do the drywall. We went up that Sunday, we decided we were going to do it, and it rained. And we had no construction experience. We had Hugh Wells and Ned Wells, and they had this much construction experience. And we were following them. We got the walls built. We didn't put any sheeting on them. The walls weren't square. The walls weren't plumb. The walls weren't level. And it was raining. And I remember standing on that center beam with my brother and with Charles Crabb and Dave Robertson and Jimmy Korn and somebody else. And we were standing there and we were standing on the wall and we were holding the main board across our chest and it was raining. And people were giving us up boards this way from the back and this way from the front so we could build the A-frame. And it was raining. And my buddy Charles Crabb turned to me and said, "This is the dumbest thing I've ever done in my life." He said, "We'll never do this again." And we all agree with him. We'll never do this again. This is the dumbest thing we've ever done in our life. 20 years later, we were still building those houses. We've helped people move out of school buses so they could have a home. We moved them out of tool sheds. We moved them out of places where they were sleeping on the ground and gave them a home. There's no doubt that College Park changed their lives. We continued to do that year after year after year, and there was something else that was happening. Every year we went, this group, this family here at College Park got closer, closer, closer together. And at that time, they were the strongest group, the strongest family here at College Park that I ever recognized. See, we started building together from people that were in that Sunday school class over there and that Sunday school class over there and started learning each other, and we came closer and closer together. 1988, and I was married right here on this stage. To my wife, I'd do it all over again. We're very fortunate to have been here. We had two kids. We grew two kids here. TJ and Brooke, 25 and 22. They loved coming to church here. They started recognizing this is their church family. They wanted to be here. Their very special friends were the ones that were here. Mr. Hugh Wells became College Park Baptist Church granddad to Taylor Jones and Will Jones. Brooke became a group they called the Fabulous Five. Her best friends, they came and they stayed and they loved being here. Rebecca Edmonds, Avery Patterson, Claudia Osley, and Ashton Smith. And I loved watching them grow up here. TJ, he'd slam the door in the parking lot and rush to get in here. Now, he might have had a football in his hand, but he wanted to be here with his buddies. He'd come rushing in to look for Russ Rose, Tyler Lee, Nathan Cobbler, Carson Smith. This is where his family was. This is where his friends are. Friends were, and that's how he grew up, wanting to be at College Park. Thank you for helping raise our kids the way you have. I'm thankful for the patience and the Christian love that was given to me by my in-laws, Bill and Grace Wright. I'm thankful for Roy Johnson, who taught me how to be Christian in the workplace. James Stoneman showed me what it means to have a grateful spirit. I'm thankful for Wes Morgan, who taught me do God's work, no matter what anybody says. I'm thankful for my dad who taught me the importance of prayer. There are times I've stumbled in my journey here. I once accused a good friend falsely as I listened to gossip. Sat right here in this service months later and listened to a message on forgiveness. The challenge at the end of the message was reach out to who you've done wrong. And I did that. I wrote a little note to my friend. A couple days later, I got a telephone call. I got no sermon. I got no message. I got no hounding. I got one word, and the answer was yes. The answer to your question, Charlie, is yes. I forgive you. I've had the pleasure to watch this church grow. Our latest additions here are wonderful. Smith Hall is an awesome worship area. Our education building now is fantastic. I love our gym. I've had the opportunity the last few years to coach the 4th, 5th, and 6th grade basketball team in this church. About halfway through the season a couple years ago, around Christmas time, I asked my players, how many of you got a basketball at home? Well, not all of them raised their hands, so I took it upon myself and I bought those kids a basketball for Christmas. We gave the basketballs out and Christmas break was here and one of my young players wasn't at that practice and so he missed getting his ball and we got back together after Christmas and we're practicing. Practice went on through and I forgot to touch base with him and give him his basketball. Later on that evening, I got a text from Jeremiah Lewis, one of my fifth graders. He said, Coach, I didn't do the right thing. I should have stopped Rodney and Cameron from taking those basketballs. But I didn't, and I want to tell you I'm sorry. Well, I had to call Rodney and Cameron and tell them they had to bring their basketballs back to church. My good friend Jim Purnell and I took them into the storage room and we talked to them about right and wrong and what it means to take something that's not yours. And they finally recognized and they told me, yes, Coach, we stole those basketballs. The next Tuesday for basketball practice, I got this letter. Got two of them. They're basically the same. Mr. Charlie, I'm sorry for stealing your ball. I made a mistake and I will never do it again. I'm sorry you cannot trust me like you used to be able to. But I will show you in my actions that I know better, that I shouldn't have even thought about taking that ball. Will you forgive me? The answer to your question is yes. And that's what College Park stands for, and that's what they've shown me in my walk here. I'm thankful for our staff here. Love them all. Love them, love them, love them. I'm thankful that Matt brought Tori and the boys and came back home. Mary Keltner, every time you see her, she encourages you and she loves you and she encourages you some more. Her hugs are as warm as the sun. Got a phone call from Jeff Allen one time. During a little family crisis, put him on the speakerphone. Kim and I were listening to him, and Jeff says, I just want you to know that I'm thinking about you today. Thinking about you and love you. If anything I can do, I'll do it for you. He hung up. 10 seconds later, he called back and said, I'd really like to pray with you. It's a prayer that sticks with me and will never leave me. I'm thankful for Jeff. Raymond and I ate lunch together down here at the Pizza Hut the other day. We got up to leave. Both of us reached for the check, and I put my arm around him as we got up to the cash register, and I said, this is my pastor. I'd like to buy his lunch. So I won that battle. And then I pulled him even closer after that, and I told that little girl at the cash register, I said, he's also one of my best friends. We're so very fortunate here at College Park. College Park has given me more than I can ever give to you. Thank you.
Blinded, and he gave me sight. song of praise in me. Oh, I was broken and you gave me life. Lord, you are my identity. I know,
a hand. Amen. Maybe seated.
I
am so cold on the tree, the dark by the mercy, Lord.
join me in a prayer of thanksgiving. Oh Lord, what a blessing to be in your house in a community of faith on this occasion of celebration in a season of thanksgiving. Lord, thank you for the hundreds and thousands of ways that you have blessed this body of Christ over 7 decades. Thank you for Clara Edmonds and Charlie Jones and the scores of men and women that they represent that have learned more about you, have taught others about you in this place over many years. Lord, thank you for the ways that you've used us, both the times that we were acting in your will and the times that we were acting in our own interest outside of your will, and you somehow used that for good. Thank you for the ways that you've allowed boys and girls and men and women of all ages to learn about Jesus, to grow closer to you, and to learn how to be Christians in this world. Lord, thank you for the ways that you have used and blessed our resources, actually your resources that we have. And as we enter this time of offering, Lord, help us to honor you with our gifts. Lord, please take these gifts and multiply them in ways that allow us to take care of this place and administer programs that help people to learn more about Jesus. Help us to use these resources to reach people on this campus and in this community, in this city, across the state, and to the ends of the earth. Lord, we know that you're acting in big ways. Help us to work with you. Use us. Help us not get in the way of the plans that you have. Today, Lord, we share a word of thanksgiving for all that you mean to us, for all that you do for us on a daily basis. Thank you for College Park. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
to keep standing. If you look at your bulletin insert, there's a page that says, His love never fails, and we're going to read responsively. I'll read the light print if you will respond with the black. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To Him alone who does great wonders, who by His understanding made the heavens, who spread out the earth upon the waters, who made the great lights, the sun to govern the day, the moon and the stars to govern the night. His love endures forever. To Him who divided the Red Sea asunder and brought Israel through the midst of it, to Him who led His people through the desert, His love endures forever. To the One who remembered us in our low estate and freed us from our enemies, who gives food to every creature, give thanks to the God of heaven. His love endures forever. Love is not patient. Our love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. His love endures forever.
together for my good. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. Because I know that you love me.
This feels like Thanksgiving, or maybe even Christmas. But it's just great to be here, and I'm so thankful to be here. I was just thinking about the fact that Judy and I have called this our spiritual home and our spiritual family for 36 years, and we're so grateful for the time that we've shared together. I'm just grateful for College Park. I think that I can unashamedly say that College Park is a healthy church. Healthy spiritually, healthy in relationships, and we're blessed with a wonderful staff, and I'm so grateful for the way they've allowed me to continue to share in the life of the church with them. We're very blessed in so many ways. One thing that amazed me when I came here was the church was so open. It allowed people to come in and move right into responsibilities. I noted at that time that the chairman of deacons was a fairly new member. My experience had been that you pretty well are born into that position in a Baptist church. And so here was a new member who was chairman of the deacons. And I commented on that to Rick Matthews. And Rick said, "Oh, don't give us too much credit. We're just lazy. We like to dump stuff on new people." So, but that honesty and that modesty may be typical, but we are so blessed in so many ways and grateful for what we've been able to share together. But there's a little bit of a trap here, a temptation to congratulate ourselves and to kind of try to keep things like they used to be, and that can become a negative thing. I heard of a little church in Texas that discovered oil on its property. The first thing they did was to call a church conference and close the membership. this is always a temptation when we're feeling good about ourselves, is to close the membership and let's keep things like they are and like they used to be. We've come a long way, but we're not there yet. And we need to realize that we're on a journey. And that journey on which we find ourselves is a journey in a world that is a wilderness to us. It does not share our values. We go out into the world and we get beat up day after day because it's so different than the way we Christians are called to live. And we need to recognize the fact that we need to remember as we struggle through that wilderness in which we find ourselves, one, remember that we are the people of God. That's who we are. That's our identity. Before we're Americans, before we're Baptists, we're children of God. And it's the presence of God that enables us to make our way through this wilderness. And the good news is that he's in the wilderness with us. And our prayer needs to be the prayer of Moses, who said, Lord, if you're not going with us, don't send us up from here. You know, we're dependent upon the presence of God guiding us through the wilderness in which we are part. And we need to always remember that our hope is in depending upon the God who is working with us in the wilderness in which we live. And we need to remember that we're a people of the book. Raymond reminded us so well last Sunday, you know, that the Reformation started with sola scriptura, the Bible alone as our spiritual authority. You see, Raymond is not our spiritual authority, as good as he is. And Baptists are not our spiritual authority. Our spiritual authority is scripture, as we look to the Bible for guidance. And above all, we remember Jesus' condensation of the Ten Commandments. Love God and love your neighbor. That's what it's all about. And we seek to follow guidance in the scripture as we journey through this wilderness. And we need to remember that we're called to be a praying people. That prayer is the way we open ourselves up to God. It's the way we avail ourselves of his grace. And his grace is the manna that keeps us going day after day after day as we pray and open our lives to the presence of God. Then we're able to survive in the wilderness. Now, personally, I think we have found an oasis here at College Park in this wilderness in which we live. Here is a place to which we can come almost day by day and certainly week by week. And we can come here to this oasis, and we can rest our weary spirits, and we can drink deeply of the spiritual waters of the Holy Spirit, and we can encourage and we can nurture each other. And so I end up where I began, thankful for College Park and for this place which we have found together.
Thank you. gorgeous, right? Man, that's gorgeous.
I tell you, every time we have a covered dish luncheon, as church-wide, I'm reminded of the 60th anniversary that we had 17 years ago. And when we walked in that Sunday after church, we walked in and saw 32 dozen deviled eggs. You remember that? Y'all remember that? There was a whole table just for deviled eggs, and there was more in the kitchen. And I asked them, I said, how many are there? They said, 32 dozen. I said, well, eat up. You know, we got to get this done. We're looking forward to that. I am. I don't know about y'all, but I'm looking forward to lunch today. As we think about homecoming, I went back and I reread parts of a book that I had read years ago. It's by an American novelist named Thomas Wolfe. Thomas Wolfe was quite well known, and rightly so. He wrote a book called Look Homeward, Angel, which was always special to me because that angel, that statue of that angel, is at the Oakdale Cemetery in Hendersonville. And so it was a special thing for me. But he also wrote a book called You Can't Go Home Again. Have you read this book? Okay, all right, fantastic. It's all uphill from here then, people. No. You Can't Go Home Again. I pulled this back out, and I'll tell you what, it is, believe it or not, it is a first edition. And I did not realize that until I pulled it back out and looked at it. First edition, 1940, and I guarantee you the guy that sold it to me did not know that because I remember how much I paid for it. But in his book, he tells all these wonderful stories about people in the mountains. And after I read that, I thought, you know, the stories of the human race are very much stories of people going home, though, despite what Thomas Wolfe says sometimes. You know, it is the story of people who did go home again. Life is about people who get to go home again. And in many cases, when they go home, they realize what home is really all about. Maybe for the first time in their life, they have this realization. If you contrast Thomas Wolfe's observation, Rod Serling, a playwright from New York, I know, New York, but we got to quote him, okay? New York says, everybody has a hometown. In a strangely brittle, terribly sensitive makeup of a human being, there is a need for a place to hang a hat or a kind of a geographical womb to crawl back into. Maybe just a place that's where you grew up. You know, when I dig back through my memory cells, I get one particularly distinctive feeling that's one of warmth, comfort, and well-being. For whatever else I may have had or lost or will find, I've still got a hometown. This, nobody's going to take away from me. And I say, attaboy, Rod. Yeah. Because you see, regardless of where we're from or where our respective hometowns might be located, we can all relate to this idea of a geographical womb to kind of crawl back into from time to time to experience the emotions of coming home. Kind of like when you come back for a family reunion, or you go to a family reunion, or when you go back to your hometown for a high school class reunion, or when you come today to a church homecoming. Because you see, even if Winston-Salem or the surrounding area is not your hometown, and even if your home as a child was less than ideal, or even if your home life today is in shambles, even if your family is being chased with or challenged by what seems to be insurmountable odds, we invite you this morning just to relax, take a deep breath, kind of hang your hat for a little while, crawl back into that geographical womb, and be at home with us. There's no hidden agenda here today except getting the sermon over with so we can go eat. You know, today we have no desire to put additional obligations on your shoulders. We simply want to extend to you an opportunity to reconnect with God and with God's people. So look around you. Recognize the faces of those that you've journeyed with so many years. Remember those experiences that you had that made you smile or laugh and smile and laugh again. Appreciate the many faces you see, both new and familiar, that are all around us today. Make a new friend. Renew an old acquaintance. Use this time. But most importantly of all, redirect your thoughts toward a God who has been faithful to bring you to this homecoming season. So whether you're coming or going or already there, we have a simple message this morning. Welcome home. It's time to celebrate homecoming.
And as I looked at passages of Scripture, I landed in Hebrews. If you'll take out your Bible, Hebrews chapter 11. There's only four verses there we're going to be hitting. But in the book of Hebrews, it appears that the audience of the Hebrews writer was enduring some kind of persecution, and they were actually considering going back to Egypt, not literally, but metaphorically. They were considering going back to old Judaism rather than staying in their Christian faith. They were discouraged. Life had absolutely trampled them to the point where they were considering rejecting their faith in Christ. How about you? Ever felt like life has trampled you? I have. Sure. Most of us have. You know, to encourage trampled Christians, the writer of Hebrews presents kind of a spiritual homecoming. He gathers together the names of those who have faithfully passed on the legacy of faith to the next generation. He reflects on the lives of these heroes and heroines of the faith. He talked about Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel. It's kind of a hall of fame of faith. I mean, that's a pretty impressive list of people that he's running through. So I ask you, if you had to put together a College Park Hall of Fame of Faith, who would be in there? Don't say it out loud. Just think about it. Who would be in there? Now I have names that come to me immediately. I'm not foolish enough to start naming names because somebody is not going to be on my list that you think should be. So I am not going to start naming names, but who would you put in College Park Hall of Fame of Faith, and why would you put them there? Why would you place them there? We'll get back to that. For the Hebrew writer, the time and space restraints did not permit them to write about all of the different people who kept faith alive in their generation, even though it meant personal sacrifice to all of them. But in the middle of this account,